Veterans Radio is dedicated to all the men and women who have served or are currently serving in the Armed Forces of the United States of America. Today's program is brought to you by U.S. Wings and the Marine Scholars Fund at Ave Maria University.
Live from the Veterans Radio Studios on the Ave Maria Network in Ann Arbor, Michigan, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host for today's program, Dale Throneberry.
And good morning, America. This is Dale Throneberry here on Veterans Radio. I'm back from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Last week I had the opportunity and a privilege, I would say, of covering the Marine Writers Scholars Military Writers Society of America's conference in Pittsburgh. Met a great number of authors, great programs coming up. In fact, today we're going to be talking with someone that I met there a couple of years ago. That's Bob Calvert, and he runs a program called Talking with Heroes. And I want you to really stay tuned for that. I think it's really important what Bob is doing, and this is a great opportunity to find out, for you to find out what he is doing in talking with current veterans. A couple of other things that are going on. If you'd like to get in on the conversation today, you can give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. I was reading the article this morning at one of our local sponsors, the Big Boy here in Ann Arbor off of Plymouth Road. And having breakfast there, there was an article in the paper, and I thought it would be really important for those of you around the country, really, that to see what the Department of Veteran Affairs is attempting to do with helping these veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. The VA, in conjunction with the Detroit Rescue Mission Ministries program, has just opened up a 60-bed unit for homeless veterans in the Detroit area. It happens to be in Highland Park. And this is part of, it's a $1.4 million facility, which was paid for using public donations and a $900,000 grant from the VA. The grant is part of the organization's five-year plan to eradicate homelessness among veterans. And I think this is a great idea. We want to thank the VA for doing this. Also, Janet Larson, the director of the Ford Volunteer Corps and Ford Funds, donated money for the kitchen for this unit. We want it to be a great place for veterans to come together and eat together, and a great place for them to feel safe. So hats off to the VA for that one, and we're going to try and get them on to find out if there are programs like this around the country. In the meantime, we're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to be talking with Bob Calvert of Talking with Heroes. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
American girls and American guys will always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize to keep old glory flying. Troops will fight till the end, so you can sleep in peace at night in the country we defend.
My daddy served in the army, an American guy, and he flew the flag out in our yard to the day that he died.
He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and be happy in the land of the free.
Now this nation I love has fallen under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back.
That music is from Four Troops. We're going to be using it's their album CD. It's called Four Troops, and they're all four members are Iraq veterans, and they were on the program a couple of months ago, actually, and I decided that because we're going to be talking about Iraq and Afghanistan today, that I thought it would be important to use their music. So we're going to be, all the breaks will be coming out with Four Troops music. If you want to find out more about the Four Troops, go to, that's the number 4troopsmusic.com. The number 4troopsmusic.com. Joining me now on Veterans Radio is a new hero of mine, and it is Bob Calvert of Talking with Heroes. And Bob, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. I appreciate you having me on your program, and thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. Let's tell our audience a little bit about what Talking with Heroes is, Bob, and how you got involved in that.
Well, it's a talk show program, and been doing this now since December 2005. And it actually started, though, a few years before as a result of my daughter surprising me back in Kansas City by enlisting in the Army. And I never saw that one coming myself. And in her senior year, she had met a young man, Keith, and Keith had enlisted. And so he was going to be going in the Army after graduation. And, well, she went in, too. So they ended up both being at Fort Riley together. And that was kind of beginning for what I started doing in 2005. I basically, as a parent, was trying to figure out what do I do to support her. Mm-hmm. In the military. I didn't have a clue. And so that was the beginning back then.
Well, you don't really have your own military background, do you?
I have never been in the service. I actually enlisted, but because of a head injury, was not accepted. And I have a brother who was in the Air Force for 10 years, got out for years, and then just a few years ago when I decided to go back, this time in the Army. He's a captain at Fort Benning. Been to Afghanistan recently, a few months ago, came back. And, of course, my daughter was in the Army. And my son-in-law had two long 15-month deployments, one from Fort Riley and one from Fort Carson, and both to Iraq. But not myself, no.
Well, tell me what you do, Bob. What is it that you started doing back in 2005?
I ended up living by Fort Riley. I kind of uprooted everything from Kansas City and moved by Fort Riley where they were both stationed. And ended up, after, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, living in this apartment building in Junction City, I was the only civilian. And so I got to talking to soldiers. The first group of soldiers had come back from Iraq back then. And I heard a lot about the media. The soldiers were frustrated because they weren't hearing anything good that they were doing over there. And through the internet, I started meeting people like Patty Bader with Soldiers Angels. She had two sons serving, and back then Soldiers Angels was just starting, and so I was learning from her and Debbie Gregory, MilitaryConnection.com, and others that I was meeting over the internet, including soldiers. One of them was stationed at Fort Bragg, and I don't know, one day we were talking, and he suggested to me that if I wanted to help, that I should start a talk show. Well, I don't know about you, Dale. When you first, I didn't know what he was talking about.
Right.
You know, I had no prior experience or anything like that, so I didn't know what to do. And so I ended up being on an internet network for about, I think it's close to 3 years. Every Sunday night is a regular one-hour program. People would call in, kind of a little bit like what you're doing. And it just grew. I interviewed so many military support groups people. It was amazing to me. Veterans, VFW members, American Legion members, MVET members, active duty military, and just kept going on week after week after week. And one of those programs, and I had the Minnesota National Guard requested that I have calls coming in from Iraq. Mm-hmm. And I found out, yeah, we could do that. I said, okay, great. So we were doing that program, and this general, he had I think it was 4 or 5 Minnesota Guard soldiers on. They were all there in Iraq, and they were talking about their experiences. And about two-thirds of the way through, the general said, hey, you know, Bob, you really ought to bring your talk show program over here. And I said, sure. I was like, a great idea. And then I remember thinking as I got off the air, why, he couldn't have been serious, right?
Yeah, right.
You know.
Now what?
Sure, exactly. Yeah, right. And so that was the thing. I had no idea how to do that. And that was back in 2006 now. I made my first trip to Iraq. That was before the surge, and of course, you know the difference, Dale, because you know, mm-hmm. interview a lot of troops. And then 2000, I made a second trip. This time, I teamed up with the CEO of a cable company in Denver that's broadcast in 10 states, Altitude Sports and Entertainment. Jim Martin is the CEO, and he had two children serving, one in the Army and one in the Marines. And so he and I went over together. He did all the videotaping because I had no experience with a video camera. I didn't know it from, you know, anything from how to even probably turn it on. And then that was before the surge. And then right after the surge, we were back again. And it was amazing. It was like night and day, the difference in Iraq, some of the same areas we had been to prior to that, after the surge trip. So, you know, it just kind of took off from there.
Well, let's put on your amateur reporting hat. And it's like mine. and one of the things I know that we have talked about this in the past is that the stories that were getting out were not positive about what our troops were doing in Iraq or Afghanistan. And that was one of your real motivations, was to get what we consider to be the true story out, because not everything is, you know, blowing up stuff all the time. And you mentioned that you were there before the surge and after the surge. We're talking with Bob Calvert of Talking with Heroes, and I'm just kind of curious what your reaction was to what the troops were doing prior to the surge and then after it.
Well, before this, there was a lot more violence. I mean, I was in, we were the Marine unit in Rawa, Iraq, and I had no idea when we went there that they were taking me into this town that literally they were just starting to take back from the insurgents. Mm. It was like a street to street, house to house. They were living in a courthouse there. They had no toilets. I mean, there's a hole in the floor, and it was real rugged, you know? And so it was pretty much ongoing fighting. It was before the Sunnis really decided Al-Qaeda wasn't their friend. Mm-hmm. You know, and they had what they called the awakening, and they started turning against them and working with us. And so that was all before then. And then after the surge, I remember we went back to one city, what Americans call Habaniya Tourist Village. And it's, when we went there before the surge, there was no police. They'd either been run off or killed or in hiding. The city council in hiding. The schools were closed. It was pretty much like that in a lot of the cities. And we went there to a school with the troops and to bring them school supplies. Well, the principal, there was no way he was coming up in front of the camera. It would jeopardize his family. Mm-hmm. And the same with the interpreter. And so, but we did get to do an interview with him. Nobody could see him. As a matter of fact, that's still on my YouTube page from back then. And then we came back after the surge, and we walked up there to the school, and he spotted me. He knew somebody was coming, but he didn't know it was me. Mm-hmm. And he walked up, and people can see this, can hear it when he says this. He said, Mr. Bob, you came back. You said you would. And he was so excited, you know. And, of course, the first thing we noticed as we came into the community there was a checkpoint. It was an Iraqi checkpoint. Mm-hmm. They actually had Iraqi police there now. You know, I mean, it was a total different situation. And when he came up, he came on the camera, gave us a tour of the school. You know, we were able to show people back home, you know, some of the differences in our schools and their schools, like the school desks, kind of like what we had in American schools about 50 years ago.
Right.
Like little wooden desks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but he had gotten some more in. He was real excited about that. And the interpreter came up in front of the camera. She wasn't afraid anymore to speak up on the camera. That's just a dramatic, you know, big difference there. And the violence had gone way down. But, you know, at some point you're probably going to ask me, I'll fast forward to this last trip we just did a few months ago. And one of the places we went was Ramadi. And anybody that has been there or knows somebody that has or had followed the news years ago, that was a very dangerous city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lost a lot of good, you know, men and women over there. And there was no violence going on that when we were there this time. And that's, they hadn't even, I don't think they said they shot at anything. You know, they're still going on missions, and it's, you know, they're still basically the final stages of the training program, but it was real different. There's a lot of progress. That was the motivation in the beginning of the suggestions that were coming into me to cover the progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we see on the news, what the soldiers watch on the news in Iraq and Afghanistan, what we watch here, you know, it's more focused on people dying, which is news, unfortunately, sad. And corruption, you'll hear about corruption, you'll hear about drawdowns, you know, whatever the new term of the day is. But you don't hear about the schools and the roads and the bridges and the communities that have turned against the bad guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, the killers. As an Iraqi general told me, that's what he called them, killers, what they are.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, local people I've interviewed are frustrated watching our news because that's all they see. Is the bad things happening. Remember, the Iraqi Air Force General had asked about that. He wanted to say something to our media. And he said, why don't you get out and cover the good stuff that's happening in our country? And he said, you know, you're actually helping these people, these killers.
Because
mm-hmm. they know they can go out and kill our innocent people, and they're all over your news. So, mm-hmm. but, you know, there are media that covers good stuff. I mean, every once in a while, even sometimes on little networks, but on the big networks rather, but you can't see much. It's a, you know, it's a regular program they have, and that's the difference between what you do and I do. You know, when we have the troops come on and they tell their stories, they're telling their whole story. You know, and I don't edit. You know, when I go over there, we're over there with the video camera. Everything we're filming is what people see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put a political spin on it or. You know, any kind of spin on it. It's their stories, period.
Well, you know, I admire what you're doing, and I think it's great. We're talking with Bob Calvert of Talking with Heroes, who goes over to Iraq and Afghanistan and talks to our troops one-on-one, gets their full story, and as he just said, he does it unedited. I know it's a lot of work and a lot of effort on your part to even get them. I wanted to know what hoops you had to go through to even get there.
The first trip was a little easier because they, you know, they basically walked me through everything.
Who's they, Bob?
Minnesota National Guard.
Okay.
And so there's a process you go through. You have to show that you have to fill out forms, first of all, before you even get the leave to go over. And you have to get approved. You have to show them that you are actually some kind of media.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in the first trip, I had no track record other than I've been on the air on a Sunday night program, and I've interviewed soldiers who have called in. So they could listen to some of those programs if they wanted to, but they were all audio, not video.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I had been going out some areas of the country to veterans events, military support events, and on some of those there was actually video footage. But I didn't have a lot to do with that because I didn't have a video camera. So it was pretty much the people there. So, but anyway, they could listen to that. After that, though, we kind of, you know, take what I'd learned that first trip and go into the second and the third. Now I've made, a total of 5 trips to Iraq, and I just finished up my third to Afghanistan. But the process is still the same. I still have to fill out the paperwork. I still have to show them. You know, I have to tell them what units I'm going to be with, so that has to be agreed to ahead of time through email or phone calls with the public affairs officers of the different units.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I end up moving around a lot. I don't just go over one unit and stay the whole time. And then they have to approve it. Of course, I have to raise money to do it, too.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my next questions.
Yep. Well, I live on a small Social Security check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm up a little bit up in years now, probably a little old to be doing what I do. But and so there's no money left to make trips like this. That's my total income.
Mm-hmm.
And anything I had saved disappeared a long time ago doing this for all these years. So we get sponsors. We've had different things we've done over the years to attract sponsors as far as visibility for them. But now it's more a trip. You know, last year I took 8 different companies and individuals to get the money put together to actually have the equipment and make the trip and passports, visas, the whole everything. Insurance is very expensive. I mean, you have to have it. Health insurance, life insurance.
Are you doing all this, Bob, or do you have a committee that helps you with all the logistics and so forth now?
I have a really good group of people that has evolved over the years. There's a core group that have been with me like Eric Chi has been with me from day one. Mm-hmm. He, of course, knew my daughter as she was growing up in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And people like Eric were, you know, kind of a little surprised, and they'd say, well, Bob, your daughter's going in your army. What are you going to do? I have no idea, you know. And so I have a core group of people like that. Without them, Bill Wisniewski at Fort Benning, he does all the filming for Airborne. He's been doing it for 15 years. You know, there's a group that have been with me for years and years and years and have helped in so many ways. And without them, I couldn't have continued this. It wouldn't have happened. But then over the years, the needs have become more for raising money as I keep getting asked to do more and more. Mm-hmm. I have to raise money for everything I do.
Sure.
There's an advisory board that's now in my talkingwithheroes.com website. I believe we have 3 or 4 more names we're going to add to that, a little bit of bios about them. The core group is expanding, which I'm excited about. That's more input, that's more help, more ideas. As this grows, and it is growing, like your program. I mean,
right.
I remember when you and I first met, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago at the first Military Writers Society of America conference I was at. You know, if you stick with these things and you believe you're doing the right thing, you know, you hope it'll grow, right?
Well, yeah, you do, and I think we're finding out that that's happening. We're talking with Bob Calvert here on Veterans Radio about his treks back and forth to Iraq for his program called Talking with Heroes. And it is that we have a very similar mission statement, I guess you could say, and that's make sure we get the true stories out about our veterans and our active duty personnel, and that we want to get those out before somebody else messes with it, I guess is the kindest way I can put it, so that we don't get any political spin on these things. And that's what's important. And as you pointed out, Bob, we are expanding. And I should have had Joyce Faulkner on from Military Writers this morning, because we're now setting up, I think she's got me on a Twitter account or something like that. The next thing I know, I've gotten a couple of hundred more notifications that people are listening to the program and finding out more and more about it, just like yours. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for all of us to get these stories out, because there are many programs I know that are on the internet that people should be able to have access to.
Yeah, and Joyce is amazing, isn't she?
She certainly is. She just... for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Joyce Faulkner is one of the founding members, I believe, of the Military Writers Society of America, and currently is the president. And she's written a number of books, and Joyce and I got hooked up because we are both children of veterans of Iwo Jima. And when I did that program, maybe 2 years ago now, that's how I kind of hooked up with Joyce and met Bob down in Orlando. And I just think it's a great opportunity to help out. And I would like our audience, if you want to ask Bob a question about what he's done or who he's seen, or maybe he's run into somebody that you know, you can give us a call here on Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. I was always wondering, my question is, I've been baffled by what you do, Bob, because you're not the largest person in the world. Physically, I think there's a really big inner strength going on there, and I was always curious about how you got around in Iraq with the logistics of traveling from point to point. So did you set your schedule, or did somebody set it for you?
Basically, what happens is, like, for instance, this last trip, I went back Iraq and into Afghanistan. I've done that 2 times now. On this last trip, I had a videographer with me on each trip, because I had to pay them. But I got where I really couldn't do this on my own anymore. It was just too much. physically. But basically, the units are all approved prior, as I described earlier with the paperwork and all that. And then once the trip is on, everything is moved forward. We have the funding. Dates are set. Everything is planned through the military in terms of, once I'm finished, let's say, in Baghdad, and then we're going to Ramadi. Well, I don't arrange all that. They do. Mm-hmm. They know how long I'm going to be with what brigade in Baghdad or Ramadi and where I need to go next. It's the same in Afghanistan. They have public affairs offices there that work specifically with media to help us get around, but I don't go on my own or anything. Mm-hmm. Everywhere we go, we have to carry our gear, wear the body armor, wear the helmet, Kevlar it's called now, and it's a lot of weight, but not near the weight our troops carry. Every time I go over there and I'm doing the interviews and I'm with the troops, I always want to let the people watching know that even though this is hard on me physically, it is. You're out there in 120, 130 degree heat day after day, and you're working 12 hour or longer days because that's what the troops work. So I'm with them. So I'm not staying in a hotel, I'm just going 3 hours. I'm with them all the time. I don't know how they do it, Dale. They're there week after week, month after month, same hours. I don't think a different answer to this question I would always ask them is, when do you get a day off? Mm-hmm. They kind of laugh, They get a day off maybe once every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the days they're working, which is every other day, it's 12, 14, 16-hour days.
Right, yeah, and it's not like they can go home and just cool down.
Yeah, exactly. They're not taking a break, and a day off they get, they've got laundry to do, they've got mm-hmm. things they have to catch up with. And a lot of these guys, we go out on missions with them. Security missions where they're mm-hmm. looking for bad guys, they're looking for IEDs, and some of them, they get hit with IEDs. It's a rough thing out there, But the amazing thing to me, though, Dale, is seeing the differences every time I go back, and every time I can see the improvements. And I get that on video, not from me sitting there going, hey, great job they're doing over here and all that. No, it's mm-hmm. through them telling their stories. And many, many times, I've got men or women I'm sitting in front of that have been to Iraq, some to Iraq and Afghanistan. Some of them have been deployed as many as 8 times. And they have a unique perspective because they can talk about what it was like previously and what it's like now.
I just want to let our audience know, if you have access to a computer or you're listening to us on a computer, you can go and watch the webcast. And I've got pictures on there that I've downloaded from Bob's site to look at, and there are pictures of individual soldiers and also some civilians, it looks like, and you're going to see some great pictures of the terrain that Bob was traveling through. And I can't fathom the desolation in looked like parts of Iraq and Afghanistan where these people were and where they still are today. And you really do have to admire these men and women for continually putting their lives on the line to protect us. And that's, some people say that's a cliche, but it's not. Because if they weren't doing this, we don't know what the situation would have ended up being. It would have, would have it expanded? Would it have come closer to home? We'll never know. But thankfully, we don't have to think about that right now. I just have more and more admiration for these men and women the more often I get to talk to them. And they are, right now, there was a cover on, I think it was Time or Newsweek magazine a couple of weeks ago, that was calling this is the new greatest generation. And I think that we need to let these men and women know, and we're doing a much better job of it through people like you, Bob, telling their stories and getting them out, and by using the technology that's available so that we can communicate the really true stories that are happening there.
Yep. Well, the other side of the story, Dale, and because you do the interviews every week, the other side is the families. I'll talk to the soldiers, and I'll always ask them before we finish an interview to tell the American people about care packages. Are they getting them?
Yeah. Hold on,
Ladders.
Bob, we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. But we'll be coming back on the other side. We're talking with Bob Calvert of Talking with Heroes, and we got a lot more stories to tell, and we want you to give us a call. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Sergeant First Class Paul Smith gave his life to protect his troops. Details after this.
On April 4th, 2003, a call went out for a place to put some Iraqi prisoners. Sergeant First Class Paul Smith volunteered to create a holding pen inside a walled courtyard. Soon, Iraqi soldiers, numbering perhaps 100, opened fire on Smith's position. Smith was accompanied by 16 men. Smith called for a Bradley, a tank-like vehicle with a rapid-fire cannon. It arrived and opened up on the Iraqis. The enemy could not advance so long as the Bradley was in position. But then, in a move that baffled and angered Smith's men, the Bradley left. Smith's men, some of whom were wounded, were suddenly vulnerable. Smith could have justifiably ordered his men to withdraw. Smith rejected that option, thinking that abandoning the courtyard would jeopardize about 100 GIs outside, including medics at an aid station. He manned a 50 caliber machine gun atop an abandoned armored personnel carrier and fought off the Iraqis, going through several boxes of ammunition. As the battle wound down, Smith was hit in the head. He died before he could be evacuated from the scene.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
I'm Tom Corey, President, Vietnam Veterans of America. Every year, VVA makes a strong case for funding veterans' health care. Every year, Congress and the President decide how much should go towards caring for veterans. VVA calls for swift bipartisan endorsement of mandatory funding of veterans' health care. VVA believes it is unjust to make promises to another generation of veterans without providing for the needs of those who have served. If you agree, support us at VVA.org.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
And that is from the group entitled Four Troops, the number Four Troops. Iraq veterans. I think it's amazing. I want to talk a little bit and thank our sponsors for today. Number one, of course, is the Marine Scholars Fund of Ave Maria University, who have been with us since the beginning of Veterans Radio here at WDEO. And I also want to make sure that we thank U.S. Wings. And U.S. Wings offers the world's largest collection of leather bomber jackets and flight jackets. They're the best. They're really the bomb, as you might want to call it. They also provide aviation gifts, pilot gear, military memorabilia, all kinds of great things for those that are interested in military aviation. And we encourage you to go to uswings.com. That's uswings.com. Or give them a call at 800-650-0659. 800-650-0659. Tell them you heard about them on Veterans Radio and check out all their great military aviation memorabilia. We're back here on Veterans Radio and we're talking with Bob Calvert, who is the founder and head honcho at Talking with Heroes, which is an internet. I don't know. Are you an internet radio program still, Bob?
No, when I started back and forth over to Iraq and then Iraq and Afghanistan, the 1 hour program I had on Sunday night kind of went away. And I haven't been doing that for 2 years now. It's all videos now.
Okay. While we're talking, where would people find these videos?
Okay. Well, we put short clips, 12 to 14 minute clips on YouTube of everything we do. And that's youtube.com/BobC9246. The easiest way is just to go to talkingwithheroes.com or thankyouforyourservice.us. And on both those sites, there's links. On the talkingwithheroes.com, at the top right, there's a link to the Facebook and Twitter. You mentioned Twitter earlier, and YouTube, LinkedIn. But on the YouTube and Facebook, all the videos are going there. All the videos from this July 2011 trip to Iraq are up there now, unedited. You know, they're all there. And we're asking people to help us get those videos out across the country. We're going to do a major news release later this month, and we're hoping that, you know, we'll be able to, you know, reach out to more people. Mm-hmm. The goal is millions of people hear these stories. It's the troop stories.
Right.
And we feel like they have a right to have their story heard. You know, I have Gold Star families, people that have lost a loved one. That's the ultimate sacrifice being made there. You know, and they watch the videos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it can never bring back, but it shows them that something good has come out of this they didn't know about.
Right.
You know, until hearing the other more soldier stories, people that have been wounded. You know, you mentioned earlier on your program a reference to PTSD. I mean, there's a whole to help with, like you are, Dale. There's estimates I've heard hundreds of thousands of men and women who have been deployed, some of them many times, and they're dealing now with post-traumatic stress syndrome, some of them with traumatic brain injury. And then the other wounded soldiers. And, you know, we need to for them as a country. We need to support the families when their loved one's deployed or maybe the loved one came and they're dealing with all these issues. It's important.
Absolutely. And that's both of our purposes are to get these stories out and let people know that these are really ordinary Americans who have gone through extraordinary circumstances and they need our help to get them back into society if they want to get back into, you know, civilian society. But, you know, many of these people are career military. They've been doing this for 10 years in many cases or longer. And
I've had some people I've interviewed 30 years in the military. Major General Buchanan in Baghdad towards the end, right before we filmed inside where they had Saddam in a detention center. Mm-hmm. By the way, we actually filmed that's now up there on YouTube. So people could actually see what his cell looked like. But, yeah, Major General Buchanan, I think it was 31 years in the military. Graham, who used to be the commander here at Fort Carson, 30 years. I mean, there's many people with many years of service to our country. And then there's the, you know, the new soldiers. You know, maybe they've been in 3 or 4 years and they've been deployed 2 or 3 times.
I know. I just can't imagine putting yourself back into a situation that, you know, is potentially lethal to you more than once. But I also, when I talk to them, you can see their dedication and their love of their country and their love of their, mostly it's a lot of love for their fellow troops. You know, that's their second family, and they're, you know, they put their life on the line all the time for that second family. And I think that's amazing when you see that. And some of them are so young. I guess at our age now,
yeah.
Bob, everybody's young.
Thanks for reminding me of that, Dale.
Yeah, well, I know. Social Security, that and Medicare kind of, you know, hit you up in the face and say, oh, guess what? You're eligible. But I was talking to a young woman the other day who is a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and I ran into her at a local restaurant, and I was going to picked up her check, and she wanted to know why, and I just said, just because, you know, I wanted to thank you for your service. And she looked so young, and she runs the ROTC program here at the University of Michigan, and I think, you know, she was a West Point graduate, 2 or 3 deployments, and so forth. So, I mean, they're all around us, folks, and you really need to pay attention. Just say hi. Just say thanks. You don't have to fawn over them or anything like that. They just want to be acknowledged a little bit.
Yep. And, you know, people can see, like, part of what I've done recently is I'll film at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport with the USO, with the citizens. That shows how people are being welcomed home, but you can see the soldiers' reaction on video. We just did it in Atlanta, too, again. And you can see the soldiers' reaction. You can hear them when I do the interviews over there. Some of them will talk about that. You know, how they were walking through an airport and people were cheering. Or people walk up and say, thank you for your service.
Right.
And
it's not just a commercial. Again, some of the pictures on Bob's website, on his Facebook page, I guess it was Atlanta, where the two USO women were there welcoming troops on a regular basis. And they had looked like cases and cases of Girl Scout cookies.
The Girl Scouts are great. There's so many organizations. That's another part of the story. And you know that, Dale, because you interviewed them. Right. But I have interviewed so many military support groups. And some of them are, you know, part of my motivation. The troops are my biggest motivation, right, in my own family, too. But these people like Soldiers Angels and Operation Gratitude and the Desert Angels right up there by you in Michigan with Louise Downs and Barbara Oldham in Florida, you know, individual who started, she's a single mom, right? She started a group called Care for Our Own. I mean, there's so many groups across the country that are out there supporting the troops. And they've been, some of them have been doing this the whole time, you know, for many, many years now. And we're trying to encourage more people to get involved in those groups. And a lot of churches, and like you said, the Girl Scouts, VFW, American Legion. But you know what? What's interesting is hearing statistics from people that seem to know about the statistics better than I do. There's really a small percentage of the American population that's affected by what's been happening in terms of having somebody in their family serve. And again, the small percentage is actually involved in supporting the troops. And we'd like to see that change. You know, whatever people's politics are, you know, I always say just take your politics and throw it in the room someplace, close the door, and walk away. And get out there and join with your fellow Americans and thanking these men and women and getting out there and doing something. It's one thing to say, I support the troops or put a sticker on your car, which is great. Another thing to get out and do something.
Right. Yes. My partner, Gary Lilly, who's passed away a couple of months ago now, he used to say, you know, so what have you done for veterans today?
Right.
And I think that that's a really important statement out there. And it's not just the 85-year-old World War II veterans that are, you know, that are still around. It's now it's the 18 and 19-year-old current veterans that are, you know, they're the spearhead of America's foreign policy, and so they're right out there, and again, they're putting their lives on a line. And there are so many of these support groups, and there's so many people like you and I, Bob, that are trying to get the word out to everyone. We're talking with Bob Calvert of TalkingWithHeroes.com. I encourage everyone to go out there and check out his website and look at some of his videos, because you're going to be pleasantly surprised by the stories of these men and women, and also the quality of your tapes, Bob. I wanted to congratulate you on those. I was very impressed.
Well, on these last trips, it's not just me, obviously. As a matter of fact, I hardly even touched the camera this time. These guys, two guys I had with me, one's a retired Army Ranger, another, and Ron was in for 20 years, and then another gentleman who was with the Air Force as a combat camera officer.
Okay.
So they're really good. And I'm going to do the same again this time. You know, I do this, me going over by myself is not going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I got badly dehydrated, and I've had health issues, as you know. You saw me in Pittsburgh with this, whatever this thing is on my hand. I had a cast first, and now a splint, and had to have surgery. Now, that wasn't from the trip, though. It just got worse over there.
That's just part of aging. I don't want
that's
to say that.
That's part of aging, exactly. It's not because of the trip. But you got to deal with that, you know, when you're 65 years old.
Yeah. Well, we got about a minute to go in this segment, Bob. So I wanted to go, when we come back after our next break, I want to go on your last trip to Afghanistan and maybe talk about some of the more scary things that you've run into in coming to these two countries. I'm just fascinated by what you do, and I'm really encouraging our audience out there to go to TalkingWithHeroes.com, and if you could help him out, I think it would be great. It's a great opportunity to get the true stories out about the brave men and women who are still serving our country. And, you know, they're still there. And I want you all to pay attention to that and make sure. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call here at 877-573-7825. If you want to check out some of the pictures, you can go to our website and watch Veterans Radio Live. We've got some pictures coming in from Iraq and Afghanistan. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Raise my hand, raise my weapon. Now I raise my voice for the brave, those who serve. I will carry the torch for the day, for the moment we decided to serve. For your lives, for our country, made the ultimate choice to defend, to stand tall through the fight, through it all. Always ready, we stood by your side. Here we've been together, won't back down, we will fight for your freedom. We've given our lives, dedicated to fighting for your liberty. With our hearts through it all, thick or thin, by your side. All along.
And that music, again, today, all the breaks have been provided by Four Troops, the number four, the word troops. You can go to fourtroopsmusic.com and you can download their CD. All four members of the group are Iraq veterans, and I think it's kind of cool that they do that. We're talking with Bob Calvert of Talking with Heroes here on Veterans Radio today. And Bob just returned from Afghanistan from your third or fourth trip there. So tell me a little bit about what you found this time through.
In Iraq, you're hearing about the drawdown, mm-hmm. And so in Iraq, we were able to show, like people will say, once we're out of there, Iraq will fall apart. I beg to differ. I could be wrong, but, been there five times now, and we talked to the troops, you do doubt. And I think they have done such an incredible job over there of training the Iraqis and helping with the reconstruction projects that, there'll be challenges, no doubt about it, but I think that Iraq's going to be fine. I want to believe that we're not going to have to go back again like we've done. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to show kind of like maybe the final days or something. One of the things we did is we got to go to Najaf, Iraq, with Fort Hood soldiers and to the airport where they had this major ribbon cutting ceremony that the provincial reconstruction team people and the soldiers had been working on for a long time to be able to open up this major international airport. And Najaf is like one of the main cities in the world for Shia Islam. It's where that Sadr gentleman lives. it's a big community, a big city, and we were the only non-Iraqi media there. People can now go on YouTube and watch everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
They can see the interview we did with the governor of Najaf, who happens to be, guess where his family is from? Your state, Dale, Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was standing in line there behind the Iraqi media, and I happened to hear somebody say something about he's Iraqi American. I went, really? So my ears perked up real quick. By the time I got to my turn, I said to him, I introduced myself real quick before we started the camera rolling, and I said, you see you're from Michigan? He said, yeah, family lives there. I said, great. Would you like to talk a little bit about that to the American people? And he said, yeah, yeah. And so people will see as they watch this at the end, I did the same thing I do for the troops. I said, sir, would you like to give a shout-out to your family back home? Mm-hmm. And he did.
Cool.
To his children in Michigan. This is a man leading a major province in Iraq, you know, and speaks pretty good English. And then we went on missions with them, dangerous missions. When we were there, one of the big things that was happening, especially in southern Iraq, with these what they call IRAMs, these big, huge bombs that were being brought in from Iran.
Right.
And it was Iraqis were very open about talking about that. They know where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is since I left, they may have, with the arrests that were made, and, you know, these bombs are so big, they're launched from a dump truck.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, and so we're out there on missions with the troops, filming as we go. People can watch this as they're looking for dump trucks, and they'll pull them over, you know.
Nice.
And they're going in fields. They're going to, you know. But these are similar missions that our men and women have been doing for year after year after year.
Mm-hmm.
So many civilians that have been over there with these reconstruction projects year after year after year. There's so much sacrifice which has led to where Iraq is today. And in Afghanistan, I think, is on the same path. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. You know, I watch the same news here that people watch, but I also get the stories every day from our troops over there, and I put them on thankyouforyourservice.us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these stories that are there you won't see in the main media. They're just not picking up the stories that the troops are sending here, the public affairs officers, which is means they're media people. Mm-hmm. That are in the military. And there's so much progress. I think there's 9 or 10 provinces where there isn't the violence we're hearing about on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we don't hear about that, you know, and we should. And that's what we're trying to do. We try, like, I'm actually planning another trip. I can't believe I'm even going to consider this, but of course, based on my health here at my hand and all that, and being able to raise the money again, I'll be back over next year and probably focusing on Afghanistan this time. But in Afghanistan, one of the things that people will see, like I said earlier, all the Iraq videos are up there now. Everybody can watch everything we did there, and plus in Kuwait at Embry-Riddle Teaching Centers. Embry-Riddle, by the way, was my sponsor of this trip.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Can you tell our audience who Embry-Riddle is?
Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University is a well-established university. About 65% of their students are veterans or active-duty military. I was introduced to them by my good friend Mark Leiden, who had written a book called Veterans Get Hired. He brought me to Embry-Riddle, and very quickly they made a decision to fund the trip we just completed. And or otherwise, I probably wouldn't be talking about another trip right now.
Right.
It's hard raising money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a very, very neat university. Anybody who's a veteran or active duty right now, you know, if you're looking to further your education and, you know, get further advance in the civilian world or in your military career, you know, to really check out embryriddle.edu. We got to interview some graduates and students in Afghanistan and also in Kuwait.
Oh, okay.
That was really good. But Afghanistan was fascinating. Like, we were driving through Kabul. Anybody that's been in the military and been deployed, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't been there, which is probably about 95% or more of the population, you know, seeing this is like, whoa. So this is what our loved ones go through.
Right.
driving in Kabul is like a free-for-all. There's no light. There's no stop signs. There's no controls at all driving. I mean, you have one side of the street, another side of the street, but it doesn't mean that somebody isn't going to be coming right at you on your side that gets impatient with the traffic. There's people walking. There's donkeys, there's motorcycles, scooters, kids walking, and cars, and buses, and you name it. And we got some of that on film, including the after effects of an accident right in the middle of an intersection, where as we came up to it, gosh, there must have been 20 people in the middle of the road there. We couldn't even see the car, whatever happened, the accident. And they started going at it right in the middle of the road. And there's this one lone policeman in the middle with his arms up trying to break it up right in the middle. Yeah, it was really fascinating to watch all this. And then, but to get it on film so everybody else here in America can watch too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and basically see the another side of the story. And in Afghanistan, we're doing the same thing we've done in Iraq. And that's get this other side of the story as far as progress and the great job our men and women are doing, military and civilians over there, and put it on film. But not where it's me putting it on film. It's their stories. They tell it in their own words. And we film as we go out on these missions with them. You know, but we also film on the bases where they, where they're living, mm-hmm. working at it. You know, we kind of take people behind the scenes. Like we filmed inside a like a recreation center built by the soldiers for the soldiers.
Right.
So we
yes.
took a tour of that. We went inside a DFAC, which is like what used to be called Chow Hall in your day, Dale. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now
yep.
it's called a dining facility, DFAC.
Oh, okay.
We got
dining
to go
facility.
Inside and film. Hmm. Yeah.
That's sort of some sort of oxymoron in the military, isn't it?
Anyway, we got to film inside, take people behind the scenes. Heard earlier, I think on one of your commercials, about a first aid station. Well, we filmed inside a first aid station.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that both in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I remember on one of those videos, we've gotten a number of people that have served there in the past when it wasn't as nice as it is today, you know. And that they talk about that. They'll put comments by the YouTube posts, which mm-hmm. we're encouraging people to do. So we kind of take people behind the scene, too. And so, you know, probably said 95% of the American people have never seen what we bring back on video and probably never would.
That's very true. We're coming up on a minute left, Bob, and I wanted to just make sure that people go to your website. That's talkingwithheroes.com. It's one of them. The other one was what?
Thankyouforyourservice.us. It's an online news site updated daily with news stories, like what people like you are doing, Dale, a veteran
okay.
who's out there away supporting our troops and veterans, our military support groups, and, of course, the troops.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so very much, Bob, for being on Veterans Radio, and hope to have you back next trip. I know my partner, Bob Gould, is interested in talking with you. He says, can I go? I said, I don't know. I'll ask. We'll put you in touch with each other. And
okay.
Anyway, thanks so very much, Bob, and good luck to you and good luck to Talking with Heroes. Make sure for our listeners to go check that out. Thanks for being on Veterans Radio.
Thank you for what you do, Dale. And again, thank you for your service to our country.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you. All right. That was it for today with Veterans Radio. Of course, we're running up against the clock again as usual. We want to thank our sponsors, Ave Maria University, the Marine Scholars Fund, and U.S. Wings. Go to uswings.com for the finest in military apparel for aviators. Until next week, you are dismissed.
Not all views and opinions expressed on this program reflect the views of Veterans Radio or your local station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.